VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us today on Crosstalk. Ladies and gentlemen, some amazing testimony delivered yesterday before the Michigan State Senate Oversight Committee by Melissa Carone, an IT worker trained and contracted by Dominion Voting Systems. She worked at a tabulating center in Detroit on November 3rd with claims that she saw election workers illegally rescanning batches of 50 ballots for Joe Biden over and over to create more votes. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. In Pennsylvania, Doug Mastriano, a state senator, said there is mounting evidence that the Pennsylvania presidential election was compromised. At a public hearing in Pennsylvania last week, a witness described spikes in the vote count the evening of the election, which Joe Biden gained 570,000 votes to the president's 3,200. That's after the president had a lead of some 700,000 votes. The former attorney general for the state of Kansas, Phil Klein, called the 2020 election one of the most lawless in U.S. history. Well, our guest today has written a series of articles, along with colleagues, that is so critical to both expose and to stop the steal. Joining us today, we welcome back Alex Newman, international freelance journalist, author, researcher, educator, and consultant, a regular correspondent and contributor for The New American. Alex, welcome back to Crosstalk.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim. It's great to be with you.
We've heard the national media for weeks now celebrating Joe Biden as president-elect, but you've written that Biden is not actually president-elect, Alex. Are you living in a cave somewhere? Have you missed the news touted by the national media?
That's a great question, Jim. And I have seen the fake news proclaiming Biden to be the president-elect, but I think all these journalists, if they really believe this, they actually need to just revisit the Constitution. They probably should have learned this in first or second grade. We have a process for nominating a president-elect who will eventually become president, and that involves our state legislatures selecting electors who will go to the Electoral College, and those votes will be calculated and added up on January 6th, and then we will officially have a president-elect. We're not there yet, and there's still a lot of uncertainty here, especially in light of the litigation that's going on, the efforts in Pennsylvania and Arizona and Michigan and other states to send Trump electors instead of Biden electors in the states that were obviously rigged. So there's still a lot at play here, and the media is either kidding themselves or they're trying to deceive you. Hard to know which one, but I have my suspicions.
So. Yeah, these lawsuits abound. I mean, here in Wisconsin as well, we've got the Trump administration filing a lawsuit against ballots. We also have another lawsuit against the ballot collection boxes, the way that they were utilized and not surveilled in such a way that shows that they are unconstitutional. Alex, you state that there are reports, there are videos, there's evidence of rampant and brazen voter fraud from all across the country pouring in faster than the big tech giants can censor them, and the fake fact-checking that industry can dishonestly attempt to discredit them. If you would, Alex, take some minutes here and expose what is going on across the country.
Yeah, well, we start off by pointing out that the media is just simply lying. And at this point, you know, I try to be as charitable as possible with everybody, but at this point, there's no other term to describe what the media is doing. I'll give you a perfect example of this. Trump's legal team, Rudy Giuliani and Jenna Ellis and even Sidney Powell was there, and they gave a two-hour press conference, and I watched it. And they sat there and they read through affidavits. These are sworn eyewitness testimony under penalty of perjury. These people, if they're shown to be lying, will end up in prison. And they sat there and read directly from these affidavits that are being filed in courts all across the country. And then I watched what the fake media did with this press conference. And article after article, including from some of the biggest media outlets in this country, came out and they said, oh, these conspiracy theorist lawyers presented no evidence, and that's the word they used, no evidence of voter fraud. There's no way to describe that except to say that it is a bald-faced lie. So either these people didn't watch the press conference and they already had written what they wanted to write and they just, you know, spew whatever, or they watched the press conference and they made a conscious, deliberate decision to lie to the American people. The only other possible explanation is that they're just completely ignorant and don't understand the definition of evidence. In fact, sworn eyewitness testimony, which was what was presented in these affidavits, is one of the most valuable, most credible forms of evidence, because the people who saw this are swearing under penalty of perjury that they saw this. It's one of the most credible forms of evidence in a court of law. So we have affidavits, hundreds and hundreds of them, Jim, coming in from all over the country. I encourage people to go look at some of the ones that Sidney Powell filed in Georgia. They are absolutely jaw-dropping. I'll give you one example. I'll give you several examples. They had a member of Venezuela's intelligence community who was there when they were creating the Smartmatic voting software under the direction of the mass-murdering socialist dictator Hugo Chavez. And what he explains, as you read his affidavit, is that the purpose of creating this election software wasn't to make money, right? It wasn't a business venture. The whole purpose for creating the software was to help Hugo Chavez and his allies across Latin America and the rest of the world win fraudulent elections and do it in a way where there would be no evidence, where it couldn't be proven later that the software and the machines were responsible for rigging the vote. That is a bombshell, and yet the media is hiding it. You had another affidavit filed in that same case by Sidney Powell, member of military intelligence, literally walking through the evidence. I mean, you can see the screenshots. You can see the images of what happened, showing that foreign powers were able to go in through the back door in some of these Dominion voting systems and others and manipulate the results. Talk about China's involvement in this, Iran, all the way into Serbia. Unbelievable stuff being exposed here. We had another one that was filed in a case by Lynn Wood, an expert in data analytics, and he went through some of, and actually he had been part of the Allied Security Operations Group, I believe it was called. He had been studying this issue for 18 months, and what he said was he looked at what was happening in Michigan, some of these things, and I encourage people to go read these affidavits. He said, this is not possible. It's physically impossible for these things to have happened without the machines and the software running an algorithm that did the things that we observed. So you've got things like this. You've got dead people voting all over the country. You've got fraudulent ballots. You've got people who testified in sworn affidavits that they saw poll workers running the same Biden ballot through a machine 50, 100, 200, 300 times. It's everywhere, Jim. And for the media to pretend like they don't see it, there's no other thing that you can say other than they're just lying to us and they're trying to deceive us.
Now, Alex, you talked about both China and Iran having some connections here to Dominion. What tie that together for us, if you would?
Well, there's several things going on with China. There's some new information that just came out in the last couple of days, and I haven't verified it myself, but there's information that suggests that a investment company, majority owned by Communist China, also owns a significant part of Dominion. Whether that's true or not, I have not been able to verify yet, but that is, the reports about that are circulating. But one of these affidavits filed in Sidney Powell's lawsuit in Georgia, again, I encourage people to go read this for themselves, and we talk about it in our article, that's at thenewamerican.com, talks about how these voting systems were created with these back doors that allow foreign powers and anybody else, really, to access these machines. And in this affidavit, the affiant, the person making these claims, again, under penalty of perjury, testifies to the fact that people in China, people in Serbia, people in Iran, and I believe even people in Pakistan, I can't remember off the top of my head, I've read so many of these affidavits over the last few weeks, there's evidence that they went into these systems and were able to manipulate the vote. So there's, you know, that and many, many other examples of things like that going on in the election, where at this point, you know, it's, I think, indisputable that there were not just irregularities in this election, but deliberate efforts to rig it. And one of the really interesting things that we notice in this, Jim, is that all of the evidence shows rigging in favor of Biden. So far, nobody's produced a single affidavit, a single shred of evidence suggesting any manipulation or improprieties or irregularities involving or benefiting Trump. In every case, they benefit Democrats and Biden. And we've already had a few races flipped, right? We had a state house race in Connecticut. A quote-unquote computer glitch resulted in that being called for the Democrat. Once they actually redid it and found out what was going on, that race went to the Republicans. You had a county commission race outside of Detroit. computer glitch gave the race to a Democrat. Once they went back through everything and checked it, turned out that race actually went to the Republican. We've got several examples like this already around the country. And again, every case, it always benefits the Democrat. So I think there's clear evidence that this was a coordinated effort. You know, there might have been, you know, rogue actors acting on their own, stuffing ballot boxes and stuff, but there's very clearly a coordinated national and maybe even international effort to rig this election in favor of not President-elect Joe Biden.
Alex, yesterday during this very program, breaking news came forth from the Attorney General, William Barr, with claims, media reporting, he's saying there's no evidence for widespread voter fraud. I mean, is he just ignorant of these things? Is he willfully covering something up? Did he really say that statement? What do we know? What do we make of the Attorney General with a statement like that?
Yeah, well, I think there's several things we need to think about here, Jim. The first thing is the media is so dishonest. At this point, if they told me the sun came up in the morning, I'd have to go to the window and make sure that that was true. So when the media reported, we have not seen the video, we haven't seen the whole interview, we haven't seen transcripts. When the media reports that Barr said that, I don't believe it unless and until they give me some proof. It's just that simple. At this point, they cannot be trusted on anything. So it's possible Barr said that. It's also possible he didn't. So we'll leave it at that. Then there's another issue. I've said from the very beginning, as soon as Donald Trump nominated Bill Barr, that this was a very, very dangerous nomination for a very important job. Barr comes from Bush world. In fact, he was very closely involved with George H.W. Bush and with the rebuilding of the CIA after it had been discredited during the Church Committee hearings. And I believe very strongly that the CIA played some role, or at least rogue elements of the CIA played some role in this effort to rig the election. Massive amounts of circumstantial evidence. I wonder where Gina Haspel is hiding. Nobody's seen her for a couple of weeks now. Where in the world is she right now? I would like to know. But, you know, the CIA has been very, very dangerous for decades, going back all the way really to the beginning, even when it was the OSS. And we know that they rig elections in other countries. We know that there are rogue people there who've been caught drug trafficking, who've been caught gun running, who've been caught overthrowing foreign governments. And just to give you some examples of how blatant and brazen they became, there was a panel discussion, and John McLaughlin, who used to be the director of the CIA, was asked by the moderator, what do you make of these claims by Donald Trump that there's a deep state trying to take him out? And John McLaughlin didn't say, hey, there's no deep state. That's silly. What kind of silly conspiracy? What he said was, thank God for the deep state. And I assume he's talking about a God with a little g, because certainly he's not talking about the creator of the heavens and the earth. But I think it gives you some insight into the mindset of these people. Some of them, I think, probably think they're doing good. They think, hey, you know, we've got to protect America from this guy, Donald Trump, who's going to blow up the international order and all the rest of it. But be that as it may, I think the CIA is very suspect, and I think anybody associated with the CIA, unless they have, you know, publicly come forward and said, you know, we reject that kind of, there's some really good people within the CIA, but there's also some really bad people. And, you know, there's a lot of evidence that suggests, and General McInerney has been talking about this, one of the highest-ranking officials in the Air Force. He actually went on a VCY program that went through Brandon House's program, talking about the operation Hammer and Scorecard that the CIA was using to rig elections in other countries and here. So I think the CIA needs to be considered suspect. And if Barr comes from that world, he needs to be considered suspect as well.
Alex Newman, our guest here today, Exposing and Stopping the Steal, our topic today here on Crosstalk. More information after the break coming up. We hope you'll stay tuned. And it's not just talking about what is happening, but what you can do. Alex will be addressing that further in the next segment as well. This is Crosstalk on the VCY American Network. We'll be right back.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, evolutionists say that because our blood is similar to seawater, this proves the evolution of life in the ocean. Is this true?
Chris, it is true that evolution says that life evolved in the sea, but human blood is very different from seawater. Now, many of the same elements are in both, but the concentrations and compounds are very, very different. God used the building blocks he had created on day one to form all things. Human blood has unbearably complex molecules locked into complex combinations that are very different from anything ever found in seawater. In fact, seawater would break down the compounds that we have in our blood. Chris, we can be confident that man did not come from the sea. Man was created by the Creator, who also created the sea. We read all about it when we go back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Alex Newman, our guest here today on Crosstalk, and our writer for The New American. And Alex, just a stellar issue has come out on stopping the steal. A number of articles, much more, that go into greater depth than what we're able to in the limited time that we have here. But share with our listeners, how can they be informed? How can they see this information?
Well, thank you very much, Jim. So if you go to thenewamerican.com, we've actually redone our website, and you can scroll down just a little bit there, and you can see kind of the digital version of the latest issue of the magazine. You can also order that. If you go to the website, you can subscribe to the print magazine, and you can even contact us if you want to order back into this next issue about the Stopping the Steal. That will actually be arriving in people's mailboxes very soon here. But if people want to call in, if they prefer not to use the Internet, you can call in at 920-749-3784. Or they can call in at a 1-800 number. It's 1-800-727-TRUE. That's 1-800-727-8783. You can request that issue in particular, or you can get a subscription, and I don't think it's too late yet to be able to get that one in the next few days.
Okay, so people can order that. There's going to be a cost if they order that publication for this special issue, correct?
Yes, there is a cost, but I think the cost of the magazine is a few bucks, and then there's the shipping cost. But if you get a subscription, I mean, it's very, very low. I forget the exact number, but I think it's less than $60 a year for two issues every month delivered to your door.
And, friends, again, the phone number to The New American, you can go to thenewamerican.com or call 920-749-3784 or 1-800-727-8783, 1-800-727-TRUE. And again, this is the edition of the magazine called Stopping the Steal. Alex Newman is our guest here today on Crosstalk. Alex, many are baffled, but perhaps it's coming more to light now by a statement that Joe Biden made leading up to the election on voter fraud. What did he say?
Well, he actually, I think, inadvertently revealed something very serious. He said that in this election, that his team had created the greatest and most inclusive voter fraud organization in American political history. And it's hilarious to watch the fact checkers try to run cover for him on this. And I've seen everything from, oh, well, he misspoke, to he didn't know what he was saying, he didn't mean to say that. And yet, you know, the video's out there.
Yes.
You can see it.
Yeah.
And I think at this point, you know, Biden has inadvertently spoken the truth on a number of key issues. He kind of accidentally blurted stuff out that he's not supposed to be saying. And I believe very strongly that that's what occurred in this case. He inadvertently let slip that, hey, we've got a real good voter fraud operation going, so that's why I can hide in my basement while Donald Trump is out campaigning.
Rudy Giuliani, what's your impression of what he's doing right now in state legislatures and in the legal battle here?
Well, you know, my feelings about Giuliani have always been mixed. I certainly disagree with him politically on plenty of issues, and he has been connected to some elements of the establishment, but actions speak louder than words, and people can redeem themselves, and I do think he's doing a very good job representing the president and his campaign at this moment. I very much support what he's doing in terms of going to these legislatures in Pennsylvania, Arizona, Wisconsin, and Michigan, and explaining to them what has happened here, the vote fraud, and also their constitutional powers under Article 2, Section 1. So I think Giuliani is doing the right thing. I was a little bit disappointed when they kind of distanced themselves from Sidney Powell, but as I understand it, there's more going on to that than meets the eye.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't really throwing her under the bus so much as liberating her to pursue independent pursuits that will have a very important role to play in exposing and stopping this fraud. So I've been pleased to see what Giuliani's been doing. I mentioned that press conference earlier. Phenomenal. Giuliani was the main speaker, and he just laid it all out there. And one of the most important things that he did, and I think this we've got to have a national reckoning in this country about the media, is he explained openly that the media is deceiving the American people, that it's unethical, that it's dishonest, that they need to stop. And, of course, the media did their best to cover that up. But the information is getting out, and Giuliani, I think, is doing a good job exposing this and fighting this. I think, you know, he's a good man for this job. He's taken on the mafia. Mm-hmm. He's been a prosecutor. He's a good lawyer. And I think he's doing good work here.
Also, in this issue of Stopping the Steal, Alex, there's an article there. Here's the title, Fox Loyalist Wake-Up Call. William Jasper, F. Jasper, wrote that article there, and the true colors of Fox are being exposed.
Yes, and this may be one of the best pieces of news from this whole fiasco, because I've been trying to warn people just for so many years that Fox News really cannot and should not be trusted. I've viewed Fox News for many years as controlled opposition media, and I think that really became obvious in this election. The deep state, the establishment, knew that all the normal fake media outlets combined would not be able to convince the American people that this fraud was legitimate. You know, you could have all the CNNs and the New York Times and the Washington Post and the CBS, ABC, NBCs of the world claiming that Biden won and that Biden had won Arizona, and 80, 90, 100 million Trump supporters wouldn't have believed it because they know the media is fake. But they had this naive, misplaced trust in Fox News. That's why Fox News was so critical to this steal operation. That's why Fox News was the ones who had to call Arizona for Biden, why they had to delay calling Florida and Texas and Ohio for Trump, even though he was way ahead there for a long time. That's why they had to call Virginia before the other networks, because otherwise nobody would have believed it. And this, I think, backfired on them in a spectacular way. They thought, well, hey, if Fox News tells them, they'll believe it, and they'll leave us alone, and we'll be able to get away with this theft. That's not how it worked out. Instead, millions of people have left Fox News. In fact, their ratings have now declined to worse than CNN, which is really, I mean, Ancient Aliens does better than CNN at prime time. It's pretty amazing to be lower than CNN. And those people, I don't think, are going to come back. I don't think Fox News is going to get another chance. But this, I think, is very, very good, because Fox News has been essential to keeping the American people complacent. And the evidence has been there all along that they've been part of the establishment. And I'll give you some concrete examples. News Corporation, the parent company of Fox News, The Wall Street Journal, and The New York Post, has been for a long time a corporate member of the Council on Foreign Relations, which is basically deep state headquarters in the United States. They're no longer listed there. I don't know how recently they came down, but in the last few weeks I saw they're no longer there. Same thing with Rupert Murdoch. He was listed as a member of the Council on Foreign Relations for years. It was only very recently, I don't know the exact date, that he was taken off that membership list, but his son, James Murdoch, who is now taking the reins of this media empire, is still listed as a member. So are many of the journalists, many of the executives there. And as far as I'm concerned, anybody involved with the Council on Foreign Relations, what they have to say needs to be viewed with at least a large dose of skepticism, because the CFR has been probably the most prominent and powerful organization leading America down the path that eventually led us here.
Alex Newman, our guest here today on Crosstalk, and the website thenewamerican.com, the special issue coming out here, or this edition, Stopping the Steal. And again, if you don't have access to online, you can call them 1-800-727-TRUE. That's 800-727-8783. One other thing about this Dominion voting system, Alex, it's been exposed even through some of these hearings going on. These machines were hooked up to the Internet.
They were, which is a flagrant violation of even BASIC. You could hire, you know, fourth-grade programmer and be able to tell you that basic election integrity and cybersecurity requires that these machines not be connected to the Internet while they're doing these highly sensitive computations and tabulations. I mean, it's so basic, anybody should be able to see that. But you know what's really interesting about these Dominion voting systems? There's several things. One, obviously, their former vice president of security, a guy called Eric Coomer, who we know was a violent anti-Trump activist. I mean, he used language that I could never repeat anywhere, much less on this wonderful program, to describe Trump and his supporters on his Facebook page. He reportedly, according to journalist Altman, reportedly during a webinar with Antifa, promised them that he had made sure Trump would not win the 2020 election. And so, you know, that just scratches the surface. And when you dig a little deeper into Dominion, you realize that the concerns about Dominion have been bipartisan, and they've been there for a long time. just last year, some of the top Democrats in Congress, including Elizabeth Warren, the fake Indian from Massachusetts, also Ron Wyden, the far-left senator from Oregon, did an investigation of Dominion and some of these other election providers, and they found evidence and very serious concerns about risk to our election integrity. They were very concerned about this. In fact, Sidney Powell has talked about evidence that these systems have even been used to steal elections from Democrats, especially in primaries. So Democrats were very concerned about this as recently as last year. CNN, you know, as terrible as they are, did, that I know of, at least 10 or 12 segments on their TV show where they exposed some of the vulnerabilities of these Dominion voting systems. And a federal judge in Georgia, just a few weeks before the election, Judge Tuthman, explained that there are huge, very real vulnerabilities in these Dominion voting systems, and that this is not a possible danger. It is a very real danger. And this was just a few weeks before the election. So this is not just Republicans crying foul. This is not just Trump crying foul. These concerns have been widespread. They've been bipartisan. CNN has trumpeted them for many years. In fact, one of Biden's new communications people, who he thinks he's going to take into the White House with him if he gets selected, actually talked about how the Russians had supposedly hacked these machines to make Trump the president. So very clearly these concerns have been widespread. They need to be addressed, and we need to make sure this never happens again.
Yeah, and you've written, Alex, that not only does a steal need to be exposed, but it must be stopped. And with that being said, there are some important dates that are rapidly approaching on the calendar. There's December 14th and January 6th. So I'd like you to tell us the significance of these dates and then and how do we dismantle what some view as a ticking time bomb?
Yeah, we really are in uncharted territory here. As far as I know, we've never had anything like this in American history, this significant when it comes to fraud in our election systems. And so we're really in uncharted territory. We don't know exactly what's going to happen here. But in a normal election, coming up on December 14th, the Electoral College would meet. We would have electors from each state selected by state legislatures. Now, most state legislatures, in fact, almost all state legislatures have delegated their electors to whoever wins the popular vote in their state. There's only two states that don't do it that way. But whenever they feel like it, and this was reaffirmed as recently as Bush versus Gore, less than two decades ago by the Supreme Court, state legislatures can take that power back and can decide how they want to appoint electors. They can choose any formula they want, right? Under Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution, the state legislature, not the governor, not the federal courts, not the state courts, not the secretaries of state that were put in there with George Soros money, the legislatures will decide who the electors are. And every single one of these states that are at play, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Georgia, and Arizona, has Republican or largely Republican legislatures. So they have a real opportunity here to set this straight. I spoke to legislators in Pennsylvania and Arizona very early on in this process, and they indicated that they were going to try to pursue that. The Trump administration and some of Trump's lawyers have promoted that idea. In fact, my governor here in Florida, Ron DeSantis, has publicly on national television said that these legislatures need to do their duty, they need to overturn the fraud, and they need to send Trump electors to the Electoral College. So that's one option that Trump has, and that needs to happen well before December 14th. There's another option that is kind of in line with that. Now, if the elections in these states were so messed up, were so fraudulent, and the legislatures can't come to terms and send Trump electors, another option would just be to make sure that no electors from those states are certified. If they can deprive Biden of the 270 electoral votes he needs to make it through the Electoral College, what happens then is under the 12th Amendment to our Constitution, so the electoral votes will be counted on January 6th in Congress, and if neither has the number necessary, I'll tell what happens on the other side of the break.
Alex Newman, our guest here today on Crosstalk. Folks, you don't want to miss what he has to say on the other side of the break here today. Exposing and Stopping the Steal, our topic today. You can read the stories at thenewamerican.com. You can obtain this issue of the magazine. Their number is 800-727-TRUE. We'll be right back.
This past July marked the 200th anniversary of the birth of Robert Sheffy, an itinerant circuit-riding preacher committed to proclaiming the gospel to the mountain folk in the eastern U.S. To mark this milestone, Unusual Films released a special restored high-definition edition of this powerful film, Sheffy. Through December, VCY is renewing a special offer, making available a combination pack to reach a whole new generation. This pack includes both Blu-ray and DVD, and a digital download. Also included, the public showing rights for the church and schools in order to show it publicly. While the normal retail is $19.95, during December, VCY is offering one combo pack for a donation of $15 and each additional combo pack for a donation of just $10 more. You can even obtain 10 combo sets for a donation of just $75. Call 1-800-729-9829. This offer ends December 31st.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Alex Newman, our guest today, exposing and stopping the steal is our topic. Matter of fact, in one of the articles, he talks about General McInerney, who has warned that if the criminal and treasonous violation of our laws and the Constitution is not thoroughly exposed and Joe Biden is installed in the White House, he said, quote, we will never have another free election in America. Matter of fact, Alex, you've written that America is in a constitutional crisis of incredible significance. I find that very alarming, and you're telling us exactly what the Constitution prescribes for situations in which a candidate does not have 270 electoral votes.
Yeah, thank you, Jim, again, for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here with you. And there's a really interesting procedure that will take place. Even if just a handful of these states end up decertifying their electors or not sending any electors, or for whatever reason they're not able to be seated, and no candidate gets to 270, at that point the 12th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution kicks in, and Congress then will be charged with selecting a president right then and there. Right? This is not something they can kick the can down the road. They will be tasked then with selecting a president right then and there. And there's a very interesting formula. So rather than having the entire Congress decide this question, under the 12th Amendment, each state will get one vote. So we'll have 50 votes. And right now, as it stands, a majority of the states are Republican and have Republican delegations. So if Trump can keep the Republicans in line, which at this point is not a certainty, you know, you have people like Mitt Romney, you have people like Susan Collins, and some of these, you know, I call them rhinos, who could possibly try to stab Donald Trump in the back. But if he can keep the Republicans in line, that is another viable path to victory for President Trump, that he could serve out another 4 years. So he's got several options. And then, of course, we've got the Supreme Court option. They're trying to get these cases up to the Supreme Court. Whether that will succeed is an open question. I think the Supreme Court has for generations now been very clearly corrupted, and maybe corrupted is an understatement when they invoke imaginary powers that they found in the penumbras of the Constitution to overturn murder laws in 50 states and purport to authorize the slaughter of unborn babies. I mean, very clearly we have a problem with the Supreme Court. But things might have shifted in a positive direction, so we'll see if justice can be pursued there. And then as a final alternative, you mentioned that General McInerney, he's been interviewed on a number of platforms. He was recently with Brandon Howes. We interviewed him for the New American Magazine. My colleague Will Jasper did a phenomenal piece on his allegations surrounding the hammer and scorecard and the CIA and the manipulation of our voting systems. But what he has said is if all other options fail, he's called for Trump to invoke the Insurrection Act. We have an effort to overthrow our constitutional republic, mm-hmm. and we need to take emergency measures to prevent that. And, you know, it's a horrifying thought. It's terrible that we're even in the position of having to think about this. But if it does come down to that, we need to weigh the options. President Trump needs to weigh the options. Do I hand over power and risk that the United States, as it has existed for over two centuries, ceases to exist, that the constitutional republic is destroyed, that elections will never be free and fair again, and people will never be able to liberate themselves from this with the electoral process? Or do we take the extraordinary step of declaring an emergency and, as General McInerney put it, having a new election, a fair election, where we use paper ballots, where everybody gets to observe the process, and where none of these irregularities will be tolerated? And that's a very tough question. I wouldn't want to be in Donald Trump's position right now, but I hope people will pray for him to make wise decisions and to be able to react properly under the tremendous amount of pressure that he must be under right now.
In your article, you indicate, Alex, that liberty and the future of the United States hang in the balance. It is truly that severe an issue, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, I don't like to use hyperbole, and I don't like to exaggerate. I do believe the stakes are really that high. if they're able to steal this election. They've already told us what they're going to do. One of the first things Joe Biden said, one of his top priorities is to start persecuting the churches by passing this Equality Act, right? They want to come shut down your church if you won't bow the knee to the golden idol of the LGBT agenda. And they're dead serious about that. They also want to pack the Senate with more liberal Democrats. They want to turn D.C. into a state. They want to turn California into five states so they can cram all the conservatives into one and then have eight new Democrat senators. They want to turn Puerto Rico into a state. They're not messing around. They want to legalize what they say is 11 million illegal immigrants. You know, more reasonable estimates show there's probably 30 to 40 million of them. The vast majority of those would become Democrats, partly because of the amnesty and the granting of voting rights, partly because you know, it's just the survey data, the polling data shows that illegal immigrants overwhelmingly favor the Democratic Party. So we would become essentially a giant California, a one-party state, but there would be no U.S. government to kind of hold the line and try to maintain some semblance of sanity. So if Biden is inaugurated with a fraudulent election, it may very well mean the end of our republic, the end of our liberty, and the closing off of all the constitutional and electoral options for reversing this horrifying evil that is taking place.
Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, 1-800-733-9829. And Alex, you quote Art Thompson, the former CEO of the John Birch Society, in an essence to stop the American people from focusing on the fraud itself. He said, leave that to the Trump legal team. Rather, he's suggesting a different course of action involving people actually contacting their state legislators.
Yes, and especially for those people who live in one of the critical states, Arizona, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Nevada even, maybe even Virginia. I understand Sidney Powell is about to file a lawsuit in Virginia. If you live in one of those states, you know, please be on the phone with your state representative, be on the phone with your state senator, let them know that fraudulent elections cannot be tolerated, let them know that they have an obligation and the power to send Trump electors to the Electoral College. And there's even some legislators in Arizona and other states that are now urging state-level prosecutors, including state attorneys general, to prosecute these frauds at the state level. And I think once the prosecutions start, this can be unraveled pretty quickly. You know, you take the lower-level guys who are caught on camera, who are exposed, and you offer them immunity or you offer them a reduced sentence in exchange for exposing people higher up on the food chain. We've got to start unraveling this. And if people go read this article, again, it's in the New American Magazine in the print issue, and we've also posted it online because it's just that important. We want to get the information out. There are step-by-step instructions for what patriots and Christians and conservatives and even just liberals who want an honest and fair election can do to try to reverse this fraudulent outcome that they're proclaiming and ensure that we have honest elections now and in the future.
Again, that's thenewamerican.com or call 1-800-727-8783. We have Jeff calling in from Jefferson, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yeah, we're well past legal remedies, being nice, being gracious. Our president is surrounded by enemies at every level. We've got his own Department of Justice. I knew it was a setup as soon as Barr was picked. Everybody that they put up to him to be chosen to head this agency or that, they're all deep state actors, every one of them. And if he tries to bring in somebody from the outside, not only internally does he get ganged up on, the media falls in lockstep and shoots down, just like they did General Flynn.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jeff. Your comment, Alex.
Yeah, it's something that I've been sounding the alarm about from the very beginning. General Flynn is a wonderful man. And Trump put him in a very important position, right? The National Security Advisor and the deep state sprang right into action and took him out. They actually threatened his son with prosecution if he wouldn't plead guilty to these phony charges, and so he felt like he was left with no choice. Thankfully, Trump has pardoned him. But the same thing has happened to many others, right? Same thing happened to Roger Stone, and I know Roger Stone. Same thing happened to Paul Manafort, who ran Trump's campaign for a big part of the election. And the same thing happened with the head of the EPA, Scott Pruitt, right? Another decent and honorable man. They ran him out and made up fake scandals and ran him out. So it's very difficult for the president. He has had some good people. I wouldn't say that everybody in his administration has been bad, but unfortunately many have been. And he has made sure to keep some very good people in some very key positions. There's even some people on the National Security Council who I won't mention who are very, very good, very decent, very honorable men that the deep state has been trying to remove going back all the way to the Flynn days, and they've been unsuccessful, thankfully. But the caller is absolutely right that Trump is, in the swamp, surrounded by alligators, many of whom pretend to be his friends. And I've suggested from the very beginning that Barr might be one of those. I think Jeff Sessions actually, despite his really significant failure early on by recusing himself from this hoax Russia scandal, would have been very good to have in that position at this time in our history. But Trump is taking action on this. I've been recommending that he fire Mark Esper since he first hired Mark Esper. He's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, and thankfully Mark Esper is gone. The new team that's running the DOD, from what I understand, are very good people. And there are, again, some very good people. And I think Trump could add some more good people. I'd go ahead and fire Barr right now and put Sidney Powell in charge of the DOJ. Bring in real people, real good people with prosecutorial experience, and start unraveling this fraud now before it's too late.
Jeff, thank you for the call. I just want to make mention this interview with General Flynn done by Brennan House. We will be airing this on WVCY television tomorrow night at 7 o'clock Central Time. 7 o'clock Central. It's over the air for those in Southeast Wisconsin, but we do stream this as well at VCYAmerica.tv. VCYAmerica.tv. It's also available on the VCY America app. So if you go download the free VCY America app, you'll see this the TV as an option for you to watch tomorrow night, 7 o'clock Central Time. Let's go to Sussex, Wisconsin. Joseph, you're on the air.
Alex, when you weave together all of these fragments, both domestic and international, do you believe that it rises to a justification of a declaration of war?
It's a very good question. The problem is to try to wage a war like that would be next to impossible, because I think really at its core what we're dealing with is actually a spiritual war. I always go back to Ephesians 6:12 because I think it best explains what we're facing now and what we've been facing for thousands of years, right?
Yes, yes.
This is a spiritual battle. God tells us we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and against principalities, against the rulers of the darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. And our tools in this battle are, as God tells us, right? We take the shield of faith, and that'll quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. These are our real tools in the spiritual battle. As far as defeating this enemy militarily, I don't know that that's even possible, much less desirable. But I do think, there is a role for government. The role of government, as prescribed by God in His Word, is to punish evil. We've got evil all over the place. I mean, it has enveloped this nation.
Yeah.
And so once we get back to legitimate government, there's a lot of evil that has to be punished. God defined evil for us. Murder, lying, stealing, all of that is involved in what we're dealing with. It is international in scope. I call it the deep state. It's not my term, but I think it's a handy term to be able to describe what we're dealing with in the physical realm. And absolutely, a lot of these people need to be punished. I don't know that the military is the best way to do that. I think the justice system would be a better approach, but we do need to have decent, honorable people at the Justice Department, in our state attorneys general's offices, and even down to the local prosecutors.
Thank you, Joseph. We're going to squeeze David in here before the break. David Pewaukee, you're on the air.
Hi. Boy, it's interesting that just what he said about praying and that it's a spiritual battle.
Yes.
On Brannon's program, he said that Trump, it almost sounded like he was being felt defeated, where he says, well, if this doesn't work, I'll be back in 4 years. And I just think, I think we forget that Donald Trump is a human being just like the rest of us. And when you're constantly assaulted 24/7 and you've got a bunch of traitors and snakes right in your own backyard, that's got to be incredibly frustrating and wearing them down. We need to be praying. I mean, I go to a church, well, probably 1,000 members, and we're lucky if we get 15 people to show up at a prayer meeting. I think that's pretty pathetic.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
if we don't rally together now, we might not have even churches to pray in if these people get in.
Thank you, David. You're so right. You're right on target. We're up against a break. We'll be back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website, worldviewreport.com. This past Friday night, I had the distinct high privilege and honor of interviewing an exclusive interview with Lieutenant General Michael Flynn since he was pardoned by President Trump. In his first interview with WVW Broadcast Network, we got to hear from him for 30 minutes. This was set up with my friend, Lieutenant General McInerney, and Mary Fanning. They were also on the line. You can hear the entire interview that was given to us first at WVWTV.com. That's WVWTV.com, as in Worldview Weekend. WVWTV.com. Tweet it, Facebook it, email it, call your friends. Listen to the warning by this Lieutenant General Michael Flynn and Lieutenant General McInerney on how America is under a cyber attack and treason, and that this election has been stolen by Russia, China, and Iran, enemies foreign and domestic. For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, our previous caller brought in the aspect of prayer and is so critical. As a matter of fact, if you go to that same passage in Ephesians chapter 6, you're going to see we are to be engaged in prayer and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, but praying as well is so critical in this spiritual battle. We have said so often, prayer does not end. It did not end November 3rd, 2020. Let's go to Danny in Kentucky. You're on the air, Danny.
Hi, Brother Jim. I listened to your show yesterday. I was wondering if your guest knows anything about the firefight between the CIA paratroopers and the 305th Intelligence Battalion, a.k.a. the Kraken. Is this a true story? Does anybody know anything about this? And what is the president's odds or chances to actually come through and win this? Thank you.
Thank you, Danny.
Thank you for the question. I don't have any special insight into that. I do know that some very high-level people have confirmed that something was seized in Germany. I think there was initially some reports that suggested it was belonging to one of the election firms, and I think that it's not realistic. The U.S. military would have no authority to go in and confiscate anything on foreign soil. And so I think the more likely explanation, and I do believe something happened, hopefully we'll find out in the coming weeks, but I do believe the much more likely scenario was that some sort of CIA operation operating under military cover in Germany was raided by other elements of the U.S. military. And as I understand it, some evidence was collected there. Lynn Wood has talked about this, so has Sidney Powell, and so have some of the generals. And so there is very likely to be some more revelations on this. I don't have, again, any kind of special insight into it, but it lends more credence to my belief that the CIA, or at least rogue elements within the CIA, were somehow involved in this operation to rig the election and take down Donald Trump.
Let's go to O'Neill in Phoenix, Arizona. O'Neill, you're on the air.
Bless you, my brother. Wonderful program you have, Jim. Quick question. It's obvious that if Trump doesn't take the bull by the horn right now, we're not going to have a free and fair election anymore. And with all those affidavits that has been evident, the media hasn't been reporting about them, as you mentioned. I want to ask a question. Is it that we are now living in the time where God says he's going to put a strong delusion on the people that they believe a lie? Not the truth.
Thank you for that, O'Neill. Alex, this is certainly a lot of delusion going on right now.
It is, but I think, thank you for the call. Wonderful question. I believe that probably a majority of the American people at this point, at least the American people who vote and pay any attention, recognize what's going on. I mean, I've seen polls, even from the fake media, that show about half of Americans believe this election was rigged. And, if they use the same kind of methodology that they used to tell us that Hillary Clinton was going to bury Donald Trump in a historic landslide and all the rest of it, we've got to assume we're probably talking, 65, 70, maybe even 80% of American voters realize the election was rigged. So, if you just turn off the media and just talk to your neighbors and your friends and the people at your church and your car mechanic and your Uber driver, you'll realize very quickly that this knowledge is very widespread. They're not fooling anybody with their fake media. A lot of people, unfortunately, watch the fake media and they assume that other people believe it. But I think there is a massive and fast-growing number of Americans, I would say certainly in the tens of millions, potentially significantly higher than that, who recognize this deception. They might not understand all the ins and outs, but they recognize that there was an attempt to steal this election, that the media is blatantly lying to us. And I'm very encouraged by that. The just cataclysm that afflicted Fox News when they tried to pull this on us, I think is a very good indicator that Americans are not buying it anymore, that they're waking up, and I'm very encouraged by this. So I don't believe this is, you know, the strong delusion. I think it's going to be more significant and much more widespread. Right now, I think too many people know about this for it to fall in that category.
Thanks for the call. Toledo is calling from Brownfield, Texas, and Toledo, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
I'm Toledo. I was going to say something, but I would just like to ask for a prayer. We ask for your favor, O Lord, for the election. Be that fair. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Toledo. Let's go to Sue in Oshkosh. You're on the air.
Hi. Could you briefly re-explain how our Wisconsin state representatives can legally have the state's electoral votes sent to President Trump?
Alex?
Yes, so what would have to happen then is the legislature would have to convene, and the legislators would have to vote to reclaim the power to appoint electors from the fraudulent election, from the popular vote, and say, nope, that's a power to the legislature, we're taking that power back, and we are going to send Trump electors. So it's really as simple as coming together and voting. And there's absolutely no role for the governor in this process. Again, I encourage everybody, just read the Constitution. Don't believe the fake media. Open up your Constitution, Article 2, Section 1. You'll see the process there. It talks about the legislature. There's no role for the state courts, for the federal courts, for the Supreme Court, for the governor, for anybody else. This is the job of the legislature. And so all the legislature has to do is come together, sponsor a resolution to say we're going to send our Trump electors, and then just do it. Vote for it.
Thank you for the call. And if you don't have a constitution, we've got what we call Documents of Freedom. It contains the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, all of the amendments, Bill of Rights, and every amendment passed. Just a pocket booklet. We make these available for donation of $5. You can call 800-729-9829. We're going to squeeze one last call in. Philadelphia and Linda, you're on the air.
Yes, I would like to thank you both for keeping the public informed, also for Brandon House Worldview Weekend. I have a two-part question. I'll make it quick.
Yeah, we're down to 1 minute.
It would have been nice if Trump had seen this. I'm sure he saw this coming because he told us. Where was the SWAT team to ensure that we're not in this mess? Now that we are in this mess, you know, Brandon had suggested Americans call and, you know, support the mm-hmm. president in doing the Insurrection Act. It seems like all the steps involved that he is going through, because we're a nation of rule and law.
I tell you what, Linda, and I apologize for cutting you off, but we're down to 30 seconds. Alex, we want you to respond here.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for the call. You know, there's a lot that the president can do, but the president is not superhuman. He depends on the American people. He depends on people of goodwill and people of faith all across this country to help out. This is an unprecedented time for our nation, so I hope everybody will be in prayer, not just for our president, but for our nation, for our legislatures, for our electors, for our Congress. This is a difficult time, and pray for everybody involved and pray for our nation. Thank you again for having me, Jim.
And thank you, Alex, for being with us. Folks, you can read the articles at thenewamerican.com, thenewamerican.com, much more in-depth than what we were able to get into, or contact them, how you can obtain an issue at 800-727-8783. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.